rocking out to the new intro song. I saw you there, Richard. I was doing it too. Welcome, everyone. Chris Jahnke here with Richard Bagdonas, Health in the Real World podcast. Richard, thanks for joining me again. Appreciate you coming out.
It's my pleasure, Chris. Great to see you.
We had you on. God, it's been probably a couple of years. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Great first episode we had today. I'm super excited. What we talked about, your story, today's episode title, The Courage to Conquer Fear. And you have quite an awesome story around this. First, introduce yourself real quick and, who you are and what you've been up to.
Yeah, my name is Richard Bagdonas. I'm an author of a book called Fit for Any Battle. There's also a mobile app that allows people to basically get a mind and body workout when they're over 40. So there's reduced injuries, there's the ability to recover. And then also there is a podcast that I recorded over the last year that ties right into today's conversation.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And for anyone new, I'm Chris Jahnke. I help people eliminate chronic back pain through stretches and gentle exercises. Real quick promo, check out my video. This is a free video, Workout Smarter, Not Harder. Very proud of this. Has a lot of client feedback as well as far as how they went through the program. So really happy to present that. ChrisJahnke.com/24. All right. So now back to Richard. Richard, this story is awesome. I mean, like you said, it's very rare for somebody to go through two cancer diagnoses and to attack this last one the way that you did. Again, the courage to conquer fear. Why don't you give like a little backstory as far as like how that developed, and walk us through that.
Yeah. So let me connect back to 2018, because this is the first cancer journey. So in 2018, I was diagnosed with stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma, a cancer of the lymphatic system. And I was given immunotherapy only and was cured in 56 calendar days as patient number one of a clinical trial. That meant I didn't have to go through radiation. I didn't have to go through chemotherapy. It was really quite miraculous. Now, fast forward to 2022. In August of 2022, I went to a doctor who ran my PSA, the prostate stimulating antigen, which gives us an indication of how our prostate is doing and if there's any potential cancer. And it had gone up dramatically. So they tested again, and it kept going up. They sent me to a urologist, and in early December, they identified that I had aggressive prostate cancer, brought me in for surgery, and then told me that I was going to go through an aggressive chemo and radiation process that scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, wow. So this is 14 months ago or so?
Yeah, that was
it. Wow. Okay, so then what happened?
Well, on January 3rd of 2022, I started my first chemotherapy treatment. Now, I'm a technologist, I'm a fitness, person. And so I did a lot of research. And I realized that what I needed to do was focus my energy on getting through the chemotherapy and the radiation, basically put my head down and start running. And so I came up with a plan to combat the fear that I was facing, because the black box of chemotherapy and radiation, I really didn't know what it was going to do to my body. And so I had the opportunity and the forethought to say, okay, I'm going to work out every day. I'm going to double up my workouts. I'm going to bike extra each week. And the exercise really helped combat the wave of yuck that comes from chemotherapy.
Wow. So, wow. Was there any kind of research you did to come up with this plan? Did you, anything specific you Googled or?
Yeah. So chemotherapy does a lot of stuff to the body. Neuropathy in the hands and feet is one of the most prevalent things that happens, although most everybody thinks about their hair. Last time we talked, I had long, luxurious hair in a big
super
full
long
beard. And so, I was the only one in the chemotherapy center doing this, but I would wear gloves that had cold packs on each side, freezing my fingers while they gave me chemotherapy. Oh. And I brought boots with me that had ice packs as well, freezing my feet. And then I had a piece of equipment that I put over my head and freeze my head so that way it would prevent the chemotherapy from going into my scalp, going into my hands, and going into my feet.
Wow.
I also put a high dose of L-glutamine, which helps protect the sheath around the nerves to protect it from damage from chemotherapy. Wow. And I'm happy to say that all of those things combined, I have no neuropathy.
Man.
I did lose the majority of my hair, but as you can tell, it came back. And
yeah.
For some reason, chemotherapy had it come back even fuller now. Except you'll notice that I have a pretty good degradation right here. This hair does not grow anymore. The hair on my chest and back doesn't grow, and the hair on my legs doesn't grow. Okay. So there were some positives to this, but it was also because I took great care in identifying what would help me before I got into this cancer journey.
Man, that is intense. So, technical. There we go. Wow, that's intense. And you know, L-glutamine is one of those amino acids that is prescribed for everything, you know, like stomach issues. It's a prevalent amino acid in the body. So that's incredible. So was there a moment though, before you made this decision to just blast headfirst into this, where you did have that fear? And then what was the mindset shift around that? Because courage, we've all heard the quote, right? Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's, you know, going right into fear. So what was that conversation in your head? What did that sound like?
Well, you know, I think the first time it came up was after my surgery. I woke up from surgery. I was in a hospital room. I had a catheter, which, by the way, God help anybody who has to be catheterized. It is not a fun process.
Not fun.
And I realized that, wait a second, 2 weeks ago, they gave me a diagnosis, a full diagnosis. And now I'm sitting here in a hospital bed and I'm facing in a couple weeks chemotherapy. And I had a panic attack at the hospital thinking that I don't know what chemotherapy is going to do to me. I had a business partner back in 2004, who went through chemotherapy and it wiped him out. He lost the majority of his body weight. They brought him basically as close to death as possible. And so it scared me.
To kill the cancer, right? And then they bring you back up. Wow. That is, that would be a mental scrambling of the brain. So you made a choice at that moment or somewhere in those weeks that, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can. I love the idea of freezing the limbs, right? The hands, the feet, and even your head. Are you decreasing circulation to lower the temperature? Is that the main thing? And then?
Yeah. The circulation gets decreased, which means that at the time of the drip of chemotherapy, because it's done intravenously, that chemotherapy liquid would not get to my extremities. It wouldn't get to my scalp. And so it wouldn't damage the nerves and damage things that would create permanent either hair loss or neuropathy, the feeling, you know, the lack of feeling in the hands and the feet. And as a biker, a weightlifter, just a general sports enthusiast, I didn't want to have to, at 50, I didn't want to have to go into the remainder of my life with 100% now being 80% because I've lost that 20%.
Wow. That's incredible. Like, I mean, that's something that you were just able to piece together just from knowing anatomy as you do. Is that something that they even tell people going into chemo? Like, hey, this might be a strategy for you? No, not at all, right?
Not at all. In fact, they just basically said, you're going to feel horrible. It's really going to feel bad. And we're here to keep you alive.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, cold water plunges are very popular now. And it seems that, you know, combining what you learned about, you know, if you just decrease the circulation in the extremities and maybe train up to it, I'm sure you've at least experimented with that, but, you know, train up to it because it's very hard to tolerate the extreme cold when you first get started, but, you know, training up, teaching your hands, your feet, and even again, your head, how to handle that. This is a great segue. You wrote this book before this second cancer.
Yes.
Because I remember you had this book written during our last conversation, Fit for Any Battle. How fitting of a title is that?
Well, and it's really fit for any future health battle.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it's almost as if I wrote this for this next cancer journey.
Right.
Because I used it the entire time. I was exercising 7 days a week, sometimes twice a day, because what I realized was I was super scared about what was going to happen to my body. And I thought the only thing I can do is make sure that my body is operating at optimum efficiency.
Yeah.
And there was one day where I didn't go to the gym and I didn't go on a bike ride. And what I always refer to it as, there was a wave of yuck that was sitting offshore. And as long as I worked out, it stayed offshore. But the moment I stopped working out, it came and it crashed in a massive, massive wave. And it really wiped me out.
Wow.
And it scared me so much because I thought, oh my God, is this the new normal?
Right.
And it just turned out that it was because I needed to just put my head down, bang out every week and get through this. And it was 6 rounds of chemotherapy spread out once every 3 weeks. And then it was 39 radiation treatments.
39.
Dude.
Wow.
Every day, Monday through Friday, I was off on the weekends, thankfully, but I had to go in every morning for radiation treatment, which in that area caused my intestines to no longer absorb nutrients. And so at that time I looked gray and pale, but I was still working out every day.
Wow. That's incredible. This, yeah, that's, I can definitely relate to that. What you said about the yuck was offshore. Now, obviously not to the extent, but there's something, to summarize with this, hilarious video. Sorry, a little change of subject. This is just how my mind works, but it's sort of related. There's a little caption that says, the day after you drink too much in your 20s, and then there's this kid like prancing around, he's like, hey, what's up? High five, right? He's in his 20s, he doesn't care. And then it goes to another one, the day after in your 30s, and this guy's just kind of like, oh man, all right, like, and then the next one is the day after drinking in your 40s, and it shows ET and he's like on life support and he's like, ah,
I saw that one.
I just imagine that, like the yuck, that's the yuck right there. That's the yuck.
It is absolutely, because the moment that it grabs a hold of you, it's going to pull you in to a world of pain and discomfort. The whole thing was scary because nobody could truly give me advice on what to do. They're like, hey, everybody's a little different. But there are some things that my doctor confirmed that I was doing that made sense.
Okay.
Out of the 20 people that were getting infusions of chemotherapy every time I went for infusions, I was the only one that had something on my head, something on my arms. The other thing is they give us prednisone before they give us chemotherapy. And prednisone is supposed to be taken with food, but nobody in the center had food. So I brought something called Plenty Shake to have some nutrients to take with the prednisone to help offset some of their some of the issues that prednisone provides.
Perfect. I think this is just evidence that, you need to do a lot of research on your own. The doctors, they know what they're doing to a point. And then, one of my best friends is an MD and he said they got absolutely zero nutrition during med school. So if, like you said, you chemo is injected in the veins, okay, I'm going to limit the amount of radiation that's going to go into my actual fingers and toes. Two, you got the nutrients to combat the effects of the medication. Was there anything else that you researched that was specific to that instance?
The most important aspects were the L-glutamine, which nobody told me about the L-glutamine. It took me doing quite a bit of research to figure out that, chemotherapy wrecks the nerve endings. It takes the sheath off of them and makes them not work properly. And so there was a study that was done a few years ago with high doses of L-glutamine, and I took it every day along with the 30 other pills that they were giving me to help protect those nerves. Nobody told me about it. It was something that I was scared to death of what this was going to do to my body.
Yeah.
And it worked. It worked really well. And I'm singing from the hills about L-glutamine and its effects on the body.
L-glutamine is amazing. How many grams were you taking?
Oh, 1,000 IU a day.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's L-glutamine so cheap. Like it's just, you can buy it anywhere. Whole Foods, you can buy it at like CVS and you know, it's everywhere. Yeah. That's fantastic. What would you tell somebody who's going through maybe not as intense medically, but maybe it's still an intense situation? What would you tell them about, you know, mustering up that courage to conquer that fear? What would you tell somebody as far as the mindset?
Yeah, you know, it's up to the person going through the event to take control. What I realized was I only could control the things that I could control. There were other parts to my medical journey that I had to trust the medical establishment to bring me through it. And I realized that, you know, courage is still doing something in the face of adversity. And I thought, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to be the person that just sits there and takes it on the chin. I am going to stand up and fight. And so I came up with a plan. I documented my plan. I told my wife, I told my children, I told my friends so they could be supportive of me. And, you know, I was there every day hitting the gym, hitting the bike. 2 hours after my chemotherapy treatment each Wednesday, I'd go on a 25-mile bike ride on a single-speed BMX bike for three hours.
Wow.
And that's those rides completely changed the trajectory of how my chemotherapy treatments went.
Is that, I mean, obviously just the fact that you're working out is obviously beneficial, but is there an extra research into like, are you trying to get the chemo to circulate through your system faster so you can metabolize it and get rid of it?
That's exactly right. Yeah. I needed to get my body humming up to speed so that it would quickly process through my body. And by exercising, I was also having to drink a lot. And this is something that we expel the chemotherapy through our normal evacuation process, whether it be urine or fecal matter.
Right. And sweating's huge. Sweating. And breathing. Yes. So you're hitting this from all angles. And I think this is really interesting how you're going through this big cancer battle, but what you did is so, in line with what people should be doing on a daily basis. Like you do need to work out every day. Exercise is so important. And when people say, what's more important, diet or exercise? And they go, oh, well, it's only, you know, 20% exercise. I'm like, really? Have you ever tried to not work out for like a month or two? Try, you know, what happens then? So I think this is incredible how it heightened what we all know we should be doing in your experience. And it was like you were walking this tightrope and you couldn't deviate at all. Like you said, you took like one day off and you really felt it.
Yeah,
it's incredible, man. What else is going on with you? We got 10 more minutes. We got time to dive into your program. Fit for Any Battle is a book. It's an app. How did you build that originally? What was that intended for?
Yeah, so when I was in my 20s, teens, and even into my 30s, working out was going to the gym, lifting, coming back. I didn't have to worry about recovery. I didn't have to worry about anything. My body was invincible. But just as soon as I hit my 40s, every time I went to the gym, something hurt. And it wasn't just like soreness, but it was almost injury. It wasn't quite to injury, but eventually if I kept the repetitive aspects of it, it would lead to injury. And so Fit for Any Battle started out as a Google Doc of just things that I was trying. I was using myself as a guinea pig. And then as I found something that worked, which was instead of counting reps, the program says, we are going to work out for 2 minutes. And in fact, the mobile app has a counter, a timer on it that comes down. And as it gets close to zero, it gives you beeps to know that, okay, whether you're looking at your phone or not, whatever workout you're doing, you can stop. And it's all about negatives and positives. So going slow through a movement. But we also recommend using cable-based and lever-based exercise equipment at the gym. When you're in your 20s, you're at the weights, you're at the bench, you're using dumbbells. When you're in your 40s, you go over to the chest press machine, you go over to the leg press machine, you go over to a sitting curl machine. And by doing that, and it protecting our body from going out of movement, we reduce our injury. And in between every rep, we rest 1 second. So if it's a chest press machine, we push up, we pull, you know, we let it come down slowly. We rest for a second to let our power band on our muscles recharge and go at it again. And by doing that, it made me feel better. So then I started having other people do it. And then it eventually turned into a book, a mobile app. And I recorded a podcast every week during my last cancer battle to show people what it was doing to my body and how I was compensating for it with working out and biking.
Wow, that's so cool. You know, a lot of the things you were talking about are some of the concepts that I use with my program. So what you're talking about, how you send people to more of the machine-based, and it's that strength curve, right? Like we're really strong at part of the motion, but if you get too far, if the range of motion gets too big, you're very weak and you put your joint at risk. And so what I've done is, because my program is all home-based, is say, so we use only dumbbells. What we've done is shorten the range of motion. And then with certain exercises, isometric, slow negatives. And I love that you do time-based, because about 10 years ago, we did the same thing, did a lot of research into both flexibility and strength exercises, showing that around 1 minute is the minimum that you will get benefit. So like time under tension, 40 seconds to a minute for strength, and even hypertrophy. What is incredible is I don't have any weights at my house heavier than 20 pounds. And I think I've gained the most muscle in the last year or two out of any point in my life. And it's like the workout that helps you gain the muscle and eliminate back pain, you know, and I'm sure you felt much better going to the gym. It's crazy how much misinformation is out there. Got to lift heavy, got to do full body squats. You know, you got to load up the bar. Like, oh my God, no, you don't. Not even close. Yeah. How did this started with a Google Doc. How did you approach the trial and error? Because I know you know a lot about fitness and anatomy and the body. Yeah. What were you doing with this little, you know, tinker toy that you had going?
Yeah, it really was a tinker toy. So each week I would go to the gym. Sundays are always chest day. Mondays are always back day. Tuesdays are always legs day. Wednesday is arms. Thursday is biking. Friday is shoulder. So I give myself a little break. I allow my muscles and everything else to come down. Yeah. But what I realized was if I went to the machines, there's a tendency to want to put more and more weight on that machine.
Yes.
That weight doesn't just put weight on our muscles, but it puts weight on our joints. It puts weight on our bones, all of the ligaments and everything else. And I had at one time really bad bicipital tendonitis. And so there was a period of time where I couldn't even pick up a coffee cup or a Coke can. And so what I realized was going at a lower weight and going slower meant that I was able to understand and listen for my body's pain receptors to determine if something was just, it was getting a workout or if it was getting injured. And that's where I started out at a minute. I was like, okay, well, maybe a minute is the right amount of working out. And I'd never put in that 1 second rest. So it was like, just go for a minute, slow and low weights. And slowly bump it up over time. And I realized that a minute wasn't the right move. And then I tried 4 minutes and 3 minutes. And eventually I centered on 2 minutes. And 2 minutes with a 2 minute rest in between allows our body to get enough of a recharge that we can go back in and attack it and never have that massive degradation in our power band on our muscles.
Yeah. And then I'm sure you found that you're not as sore or if you are sore, it's like a very concentrated and very obvious that you hit the actual muscle, not the joint.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating because over the years, you know, I'm 43 and I've been lifting weights since I was about 13. So that's what, 30 years. And over the years, I've seen my ego slowly die. And I think as the ego dies, and like, if you don't care how much weight you're actually lifting, and you know, the muscle doesn't care either, right? The muscle just knows tension. I've seen some amazing things. It sounds like you've discovered, you know, all these little concepts as well. And it's just like, it's so cool too, just like tinkering with here. I wonder if this will work. And being okay with going against what, you know, 6,000 professionals say and saying, but I know the magazine says that, the blog posts say that, but this works. And, you know, being willing to go that other way because it really produces those results. And you've shown that.
Yeah. And you don't have to spend 6 hours in the gym doing it.
Right. Isn't that great? Like 45 yeah. minutes, boom, I'm done.
Yeah. Cause with a two minute set, three sets with 2 minutes in between each set, I'm at each machine for 10 minutes. Right. So I know that if I'm going to do four exercises that day, it's only a 40-minute exercise. It's only a 40-minute workout. And what I notice is when I go to the gym, I'm in and I'm like targeted. I come in as like a special forces and I'm like, bam, 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 and I'm out. Yeah. Everyone else is more casual at the gym. And I look at the gym as I'm there for a specific purpose to do something. And I want to disconnect from the world and give my mind a chance to give myself some personal space, think about the day, but also get a really great workout in.
Yeah. And you are at a very real level. You're creating that elusive mind muscle connection, right? You're just putting your mind fully in that workout and you're on the clock, yep. You know, 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off. Your rest is not just, you know, you're there's a purpose for the rest. Yeah. That's a well-planned workout program. I like that.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's awesome. Richard, we're going to wind down. How would you, this has been really awesome. Like I was telling you before, and I'll tell everybody this, that I was sort of going back and forth about what am I going to do with this podcast? I love it. And I was just kind of nervous that, you know, is it detracting from other things that I'm doing with my clients and things like that? But I think it's a very necessary part of what I do, because we're intertwining all this, you know, trial and error, knowledge and experience, and hearing your story has been great. How would you wrap up, you know, any last messages you want to tell people? You can stay within the theme if you want, you know, courage to conquer fear. You can bring something else in. How would you wrap up this episode?
You know, I think this goes to everybody who has been recently diagnosed with cancer. A cancer diagnosis isn't a death sentence. It is an opportunity for us to look inward for inspiration, to look inward for dedication, because if we're not dedicated and we're not inspired, we don't have the courage to get through it with as little pain as possible. And it's scary. It's scary for everybody. And there are times where we will have that wave of yuck, but we'll also have a wave of fear come through us. And knowing that we have a plan, we're executing to the plan and we're holding ourselves accountable, means that we can disregard anything that's happening in life, put our heads down, run through it, and then pop our head up at the end and look back and see what we accomplished. And so that's what I would say is look inside you for inspiration, hold yourself accountable, and know that whatever fear you have, that is just your brain and somebody sitting in the back of your brain telling you messages that really don't help us. Hide from those messages, focus on the job at hand, and you can get through this and we'll get it through together.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful. It sounds again like you've put some pieces together as far as what you conceptualize around health and wellness, and then you were put to the ultimate test. And you had to practice exactly what you preach, and you had to do it in such a detailed way. I'd be interested. I want to invite you again. You personally, Richard, if you want to watch this video, I'm going to flash it at the bottom of the screen right here. Work out smarter, not harder. Yeah. I want to see I'm curious, like, watch this video and tell me how much of it you feel jives with what you're already doing. Because I think you and I are on the same path. I think this is like, you know, a little bit outside of the box thinking, a little bit of, you know, I know the doctors say to do this and I'm going to not go completely against that, but yeah. Is there a way I can enhance that? So again, going back to your making sure you had food in your stomach and making sure that you didn't get too much circulation into your extremities, because then the chemo would damage the nerves. And then the L-glutamine, that's huge. And again, all three of these things are probably things that even people who don't have cancer should be thinking about. You know, how good is my circulation? What kind of L-glutamine supplementation am I doing? And am I getting enough protein in general? So this has been pretty awesome. Like, I think this has been a great podcast, taking a very extreme example and being able to integrate it with day-to-day life. So I appreciate you coming out for that.
It's my pleasure, Chris. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to you and your audience.
Absolutely. Again, Richard Bagdonis, Fit for Any Battle. That is a book. That is an app. What? There's one more?
There's a podcast, Fit for Any Battle, on YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify Music, all that. And then there's the website, fitforanybattle.com, that links to all of that.
Perfect. That is awesome. Good stuff. Yeah, guys, go check out Richard and what he's up to. And Richard, hope to make it number 3 coming up soon. But in the meantime, take care. And thanks again for joining.
My pleasure, Chris. Thanks.